You're with Jason Burmis on today's News Talk, TNT.
It's Joe Hoff. We are back here on the Jason Burmis Show this evening, filling in for Jason. Glad to be here. Glad to be back on TNT. It's an incredible place. I tell you what, your production, everything here is spot on. You guys got it together. And it's an honor to be back. And boy, that was a great interview there with Lord Conrad Black. I finally remembered the other Lord that I met who I was attended a board meeting with in the UK. I think it was Lord Poole. So there you go. Trivia question. The only Lord I'd ever met until tonight. So what an honor that was. And what a brilliant mind he is. He was something. Boy, could he nail stuff. And he knew everything about Trump and Roger Stone and all that. And what a travesty. Roger Stone said to me a week ago, saying his case was the trial run for what they're doing to Trump now. Put him under a gag order, abuse him, have a corrupt judge, probably a corrupt jury. Actually, in Stone's case, it was corrupt. The foreman later it was revealed she had all sorts of anti-Trump and anti-Roger Stone Facebook shares that she hid from the court and lied about. And travesty. And then the judge withheld information from him. And this is what's going on with Trump's case. He can't even, and with Bragg's case in New York, he can't even depose Stormy Daniels, Michael Cohen, all these people that they're suddenly bringing up. Trump can't even depose them. He can't. It's unbelievable the stuff that's going on. How is this fair? You got a judge whose daughter just made millions of dollars distributing funds for the Democrats, and she's in her 20s. And if that isn't a conflict of interest, what could be? It stinks of being paid off to put President Trump in prison. This is so bad. And now you can see why they're going after it, because of today's case in New York in front of the Supreme Court, where it's going to be. I don't see how the Supreme Court, some people were saying it's going to be 9-0, that you cannot indict a president for his official actions while president. Of course you can't. He can't go out and shoot somebody and walk away from that. But if the president believes that the election shouldn't have been certified and looks into it and argues that it shouldn't have been certified, he had every right to do that. In my book, I felt like he should have done even more, because it, and now look at what we got. Look at what's going on. Look at the destruction of this country daily. It's a shocker. Anyways, today in that court in D.C., not only did Mr. Sowers have some great remarks in front of the Supreme Court, but so did some of the judges. So we've got another clip right now we're going to share from this morning. Maybe we'll play that real quick.
How about President Obama's drone strikes?
So the Office of Legal Counsel looked at this very carefully and determined that, number one, the federal murder statute does apply to the executive branch. The president wasn't personally carrying out the strike, but the aiding and abetting laws are broad. And it determined that a public authority exception that's built into statutes and that applied particularly to the murder statute, because it talks about unlawful killing, did not apply to the drone strike. So this is actually the way that the system should function. The Department of Justice takes criminal law very seriously. It runs it through the analysis very carefully with established principles. It documents them, it explains them, and then the president can go forward in accordance with it. And there is no risk of prosecution for that course of activity.
Thank you for your
If you listen closely, what this guy who's representing the U.S. government, the DOJ, is saying, no, it was fine for Obama to drop bombs on individuals in 2009, 20 of which I believe were U.S. citizens in the Middle East. That's fine. You can kill, you can be president, you can do that, but by God, don't complain about an election result. That's terrible. And that's their argument right now. It's lunacy. And I hope and I pray that this Supreme Court sees it. Otherwise, like Sowers argued earlier today, he says, well, then what you're going to have is a president that's basically handicapped. He's not going to do anything because he knows he's going to get sued for it. And so what's he going to do in these hours where really important decisions need to be made? We need a president to have the freedom to do the right thing. And sometimes they don't. And that's what we're living with. But you don't bring one president to task in 240 years because you just don't want the guy to be president again. Because he's leading you in the polls, and he's and he's going to clean this mess up that you've created. That's not in the Constitution. Sorry. So some great discussions today in Washington, D.C. And so there you have it. A reminder, please follow TNT. Share this channel with your friends. Let people know this is the best place to go for your information. And give you a little clip on that right now.
Your voice heard here.
The government needs to step up and do its job.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
We are back. Quick break there. I'm with our good friend Adam Ruckus. He's got AKA Ruckus. He's got another great story that he's going to share with us. This one's out of Maryland. I think it relates to a high school, but it's very relevant with what's going on today in the United States. What's going on, Ruckus?
Yeah, Joe, actually, it's kind of a fascinating story that I think is more telling as far as the fields of technology are concerned, and it might be something that everyone around the whole planet might be interested in hearing, because this is fascinating. Apparently, earlier today, this is Thursday in America, April 25th, Baltimore County Police, this is in the state of Maryland, they arrested a high school This is Pikesville High School's, their former athletic director, one Dazon Darian, and charged him with something I don't think I've ever heard anybody ever in my lifetime being accused of. He is accused of using artificial intelligence to impersonate the school's principal, one Eric Eiswirt, and basically frame him, make it look like the principal was saying bad things. This is according to a report by a local paper media outlet, the Baltimore Banner. Police say Darian used AI voice synthesis software to simulate Eiswirt's voice, leading the public to believe that the principal had made racist and anti-Semitic comments. The audio clip wound up being posted on a popular Instagram account. It contained, and this is of the fake voice of the principal. So people heard this thinking it was the school's principal. And in this fake audio clip, you can hear offensive remarks about, quote, unquote, ungrateful black kids and their academic performance, as well as a threat to, quote, join the other side, end quote, if the speaker received one more complaint from, quote, one more Jew in this community, end quote. The recording also mentioned names of staff members, including Darian's nickname DJ, suggesting they should not have been hired or should be removed, quote, one way or another, end quote. The comments that went viral led to a significant uproar in the community from students, faculty, and others, many of whom initially actually believed that the principal had really done this and made these comments. A Pikesville High School teacher named Shanna Ravenel reportedly played a large role in disseminating the audio. While she has not been charged, police indicated that she forwarded the controversial email to a student who was known for their ability to quickly spread information through social media, i.e. like a influencer. This student then escalated the audio's reach, which included sharing it with the media and the NAACP. So this got pretty big. Baltimore County police say that Darian had accessed school networks to search for and utilize AI tools capable of voice imitation. So he got caught in a way because he was using the school's resources to do searches for how do you fake names, how do you use ChatGPT, stuff like that. Police linked Darian to an email account that was used to distribute the fake recordings as well. Voice cloning technology can actually generate realistic speech after being trained on millions of human voices and then tuned to match a specific voice in a provided sample. In March, the Baltimore Banner reporters from there spoke with Saiwei Liu, the director of a media forensics lab at the University of Buffalo. Liu told the newspaper that he believed the falsified clip of Eiswirt speaking was created using a voice synthesis service such as 11 Labs. This allows users to upload voice samples of people for cloning using text-to-speech synthesis, although its terms of service prohibit cloning a voice without the person's permission. The incident led to Icewart being absent from the school since the investigation began, and he has denied making the comments, stating that they do not align with his views. In a written statement, Icewart had said, quote, "I did not make this statement, and these thoughts are not what I believe in as both an educator and a person," end quote. When the audio clip emerged in January, the superintendent, Miriam Rogers, called the comments, quote unquote, "disturbing" and quote, "highly offensive and inappropriate," end quote. The Baltimore Banner notes that Billy Burke, head of the union who represents Icewart, was the only official to publicly suggest that the audio had been generated using artificial intelligence. He expressed disappointment in the public's assumption of Icewart's guilt and revealed that the principal and his family had been harassed and threatened, which required police presence at their home. So, Joe, we're moving into a very frightening time when anybody could take anybody's voice, I mean, quite literally anybody's voice, and make it sound like they said or did something. And then you know how the media works. Once it's out there, even if they make a correction and things are fixed, there's a lot of people who still think that that was true, and it leaves an impression. So what do you think about this development here?
Actually, it's a frightening case. It really is. And that's the thing with AI that I've thought about. I mean, for example, back in 2020, when we see a video that's from a security camera and we make assertions on it, we were pretty confident with what we had and that it was accurate and that it came from a valid source and that what we were seeing was something that really happened. But with AI now, just 4 years later, we don't know. I mean, we really don't know. And I don't know if there's a way to tell the difference between AI and reality. I don't know. And unless we have that, our whole criminal system's going to be upside down. Because like you said, somebody gets clever with this stuff and wants to hurt somebody, they could just put together a video or an audio and have them in committing crimes. And it's a terrible scenario. Innocent people will get thrown in prison.
Yeah, I mean, and well, ultimately, I think we're not at that stage yet. I think the police, and like as in this instance, they were able to intercept and determine this guy had done that. But it's the public court of opinion where people are going to get ruined. They're going to get wrecked. It's very dangerous. Like this guy had received threats. So, you know, if they post like a popular TikTok influencer or someone on X who the proverbial they, whoever they might be, wants to take down, they could just make it look like this person said something and let the public decide what's going to happen to that person. Who knows? Some wacko might believe that so-and-so really said something and they go and, I don't know, hurt the person, kidnap them, kill them. You really never know how far this could go, Joe. And in an election season, you know, how long before we start seeing like fake videos of Trump, fake audio of Biden? We're already seeing that. There was an incident in New Hampshire where there was a fake audio. Yeah. So it's getting scary, my friend.
Yeah, I saw a picture that they showed Trump in a tiny airplane with a bunch of young girls around him. That was AI. It's like, time people are talking about Epstein and they're showing Trump with these little girls. It's like, this kind of, it's dangerous. You're right. This is a big deal. And I don't know how our court's going to handle it. We need some sort of technology that will tell us whether it's AI or not so that we can be defended from this stuff. Cause this is frightening. This is frightening. And then that needs to be really good because then somebody could monkey with that and say it's valid or it's not. Really, we're stepping into some dangerous times that we need to figure out here real quick. Great piece, Adam. I hadn't really thought about all that. I have thought about the AI and what it's going to do. These are going to be some challenging days ahead. We need some good, smart people of ethics to help us work through all this for what's best for the community as a whole. Appreciate you hanging with us tonight. Really good seeing you again. And hope to see you tomorrow night. And appreciate you being here. Anyways, take good care, and it's good to see you again. We're going to go to a quick break, and then we'll be back here with Joe Hoff here filling in for Jason Burmis.
TNT's Patrick Henningsen.
All the focus of the West, of Washington and its allies, are all focused on Israel right now, to support and help Israel and to somehow contain and deter Iran. Okay. So that means that Russia kind of has an open field with regards to what it wants to do. So think about that for a moment. Could we have a situation in this new world, this multipolar world, where the Iranians and the Russians, they're allies, and certainly Russia's not going to slap Iran on the wrist for this latest salvo against Israel? Why? Because it absolutely ties up the United States and its allies right now in the Middle East.
Patrick Henningsen on today's News Talk, TNT. A better business tip from TNT Radio. News Talk Radio listeners are some of the most active and involved listeners of any format. TNT Radio listeners rely on TNT Radio often as their primary source of information. They trust TNT Radio and are highly engaged with the content. If you'd like more information about advertising on TNT Radio, simply fill out your details on our contact page and we'll be in touch. To find out more, go to tntradio.live. CO2 sustains all life on Earth, but now it's in long-term decline. We face the return of an ice age. We mandate that the truth be told. Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Hey, this is Joe Hoff back for Jason Burmis tonight. We do mandate that the truth be told, and there's nobody that's maybe better than telling the truth, reporting on the truth worldwide over the last, 40 years, than our guest, Michael Yan, joining us tonight from Taiwan. Michael, welcome. Welcome. Thank you for joining us this evening.
Thanks for having me back on. I'm back on the front lines of freedom here in Taiwan, one of my favorite countries out of the almost 100 I've been to. You've been to Taiwan. You know how nice the people are, and just super safe, and it's clean. You know, it's interesting. I was with Masako Ganaha yesterday, the famous Japanese journalist, and we went to lunch, and the whole lunch between both of us was less than $4, and it was good. It wasn't like, it wasn't something minor. It was a proper lunch. It's pretty it's old school prices here.
I tell you, one of my favorite restaurants is in Taipei. It originated there. Now it's all over Asia Pacific. There's even one in Las Vegas. It's called Din Tai Fung. And have you heard of that one?
Din Tai Fung. No, I haven't, but I'm trying to memorize it. That's
fantastic.
What I said about
Din Tai Fung. I'll tell you what, there's one at the base of Tower 101 in the super center down below. And there's always a line, and it's dumplings. Their specialty is dumplings. Fantastic. Been there a number of times. Love it so much.
Oh, Tower 101, for the people who don't know that, that's that big building that you always see in the photos of Taipei. I'll walk over there this morning and try to find that place.
Check it out. Yeah, first floor. I've been up there too. At one point, that was the tallest building in the world, and now there's been a few larger. It's stuck out like there was the only tall building for a while. Now it's last time I was there was more tall buildings around it, but quite an incredible building.
It is. You know, by the way, there's a light, there's that band of lights on the top. It has different colors for different days of the week. Yesterday, I noticed it was green. So that was for, what's today, Friday? So that was for Thursday. So whatever, if you see somebody's photo and it's got the color of the lights on the top of Building 101, then you can tell what day of week the photo was taken.
Oh, wow. That's interesting. Yeah, I've got some pictures with the tower behind me. I loved Taiwan. It was great people too. Like you said, they were so nice. Food was great. Everything was great there. It was a fantastic place. So Michael, lots going on. Is that you're in Taiwan? So maybe first question every American would ask: what's going on between Taiwan and China right now?
That's why I came over here, to meet with people and talk with people that know about these things, and just get an update. I came in from Japan. There was a World Pandemic Treaty protest on April 13th. Masako Ganaha was actually speaking at it, and they only expected 300 or 400 people, and then 19,000 or 20,000 showed up. I was getting messages from, because a lot of people are live streaming that big protest. It was like, let's say 19,000 people, and they only expected 300 or 400. And so it was live streaming back to the United States, and people were sending me links saying, hey, did you know there's a huge protest in Japan? And I'm like, actually, I'm in Japan and I'm in the middle of it. Yeah. And a lot of Japanese are sick of these death jabs, and they don't want the World Pandemic Treaty that would allow them to would allow the World Health Organization to control everything about us. Right. And so the Japanese are starting to rise up, and you'll see there's two more protests that I know of scheduled for May in Japan. The first one was on May 22nd and 23rd, and then the second one is on the 31st of May. Both of those are in Tokyo. So both of those protests in May, late May, will be in Tokyo. I'll be in both of them. And because, you know, there's we're being hit with many weapons. One is weaponized migration. Another is, the pandemic treaty, the death jab itself, obviously economic issues and trying to put us onto digital money where they can track absolutely everything that we do. And now you see actually outside forces hitting on our First Amendment. Yesterday, I think it was yesterday, I saw it last night. Actually, I saw it about 4 hours ago when I was up at 4 a.m. I saw Netanyahu saying that, you know, he wants to crack down on American First Amendment because of things that are going on the campus. As you know, there's a lot of issues, a lot of huge protest on the, not issues, but they're, you know, could get quite serious. But you know, American graveyards and foreign graveyards are filled with Americans who fought for our Constitution and for our First Amendment, our freedom of speech. And if Netanyahu thinks taking a few casualties is worth giving up our freedom of speech, sorry, sir, no. In fact, if you try to take our freedom of speech as a foreign power, then that makes you an actual enemy, right? So this is, it needs to be crystal clear. People need to be pushing back on that. These outside forces that are trying to, for instance, have these anti-Semitism laws in Florida, that's really taking away our First Amendment. That's taking our Constitution. This is a big deal. And it's a big deal in Japan as well. Japan actually has relatively very serious freedom of speech. I would say top in the world with the United States, Japan and the United States. And so that's one of the things. Japan was relatively open during the actual, faux pandemic. It was actually relatively open. But they did coerce a lot of Japanese to take the jab, and a lot are dying now, right? So there were a lot of people that refused, like the United States, and a lot of people who took it through coercion or who were just, you know, fooled by it. Well, who wouldn't be fooled? I mean, people like us weren't fooled because we study information more, and we saw. I was fooled in the very beginning. I thought it was a real pandemic in the very beginning. Of course, I was in Hong Kong covering the fighting, and then I'm watching this pandemic, right, and I'm focused on the actual fighting. Like most people are focused on something else in their lives, like raising their children or their business or something, and then this thing comes along, which is an intense information war, which probably took many years to design and test and then implement. So most of us are all, like I was in the Hong Kong fighting, you were over there as well. So I'm focused on that. And then this thing sweeps in. And so you don't have time to actually, you don't realize that this is an actual hurricane coming in on you. So in the first few months, I was actually one of the first ones to warn about pandemic. That was back when you could get banned. People were getting banned from social media for calling it a pandemic in early 2020. But then by mid-2020, I'm like, this is fake. And there's no way I'm taking this jab. But by then, I had been alerted. I took my eye off of the actual Hong Kong movement, and I started focusing on the pandemic. And then I realized, hey, this is an actual, this is a weapon in a larger war. Like, for instance, how they took Hong Kong, a large part of how the Chinese Communist Party took Hong Kong, and the globalists just let them have it. You know, I was talking with very serious people whose names you definitely know all day long, just extremely serious people, not anybody in media, but people that can make decisions at a very high level. And they were not helping at all to help Hong Kong. They were clear globalists. And the bottom line is, one of the ways that they took Hong Kong was demographic replacement, or at least not necessarily replacement, but let's say enriching, demographic enriching. they would, the mainlanders would come in at 100 to 150 per day over a period of years. They would take over professorships and as teachers, policemen, politicians, of course. They took over the cockpit. So they just learned how to, they got into positions to take power, and they did, right? So when it came time for that last spasm in 2019-20, they were in position. The Chinese Communist Party had set conditions demographically and politically to just take it, and now they have. Now, keep in mind, Hong Kong has a major port. That's a major part of the BRI, the Belt and Road Initiative, right? So, I mean, it wasn't random that I just showed up in Hong Kong out of a, or here. These are important. Now, keep in mind, a lot of people say, well, you know, China, are we there?
Well, maybe, yeah, Mike, we're fine. I want to talk to you about this. And I would let you know I was in Hong Kong at that time. That's where I first met you, Hong Kong in late 2019. Got a couple things to add to that, but first of all, we're going to take a real quick break and we'll be right back.
Hey, we're getting back to the news.
TNT Radio News.
What the f***?
For TNT, this is James O'Neill. During his visit to China, Secretary of State Antony Blinken addressed concerns about China's non-market trade practices and emphasized the need for a level playing field for U.S. businesses. Khalil Ahaya, a senior political official for Hamas, stated in an interview with the Associated Press that Hamas is willing to lay down its arms if a two-state solution is reached along pre-1967 borders. Billionaire hedge fund manager Bill Ackman expressed on social media that he is considering voting for Donald Trump in the 2024 presidential election.
The common housefly, caught in the clutches of the spider's web. Every move it makes just makes matters worse. Then, dinner time.
Feast on the captivating stories, videos, and helpful information on our website.
Whoa.
Dinner's ready.
Oh, man.
Escape is futile.
Just one more video.
Get stuck in our web.
TNTradio.live.
Hey, this is Joe Hoft back on the Jason Burma Show this evening with a really good friend and just expert on international politics and a lot of things just from his own experiences, Michael Yan. Michael, we were talking before the break. You brought this up about COVID. I was in Hong Kong at that time when COVID came down. And I looked at these numbers that the WHO was pushing where they're saying 3.4% mortality. Maybe we've talked about this. And when I looked at the numbers closely, and really within 15 minutes, I could see that, no, they're bastardizing these numbers. It's going to be closer to the flu. They're not doing what they do with the flu and blah, blah, blah. And I wrote a piece at the Gateway Pundit. Nobody else was saying this yet. This was early 2020. It's actually March of 2020, early March. And Alex Jones, he picked me up, and he had me and Jim on the next night, Jim from the Gateway Pundit, my twin brother, and we talked about it. And before me, he had this other guy who says, we're all going to die. And I said, no, I just don't think so. The numbers don't look that way. And Alex now says that he calls me the guy who uncovered COVID. I'm pretty proud of that. But we were spot on. This thing was a joke. Kids were immune. Even then, we could tell kids were almost immune, and adults and the elderly and the sick were the ones at risk. And it was insanity, and you're right. And so that's about the time the protests were going on when I met you. And now we got all sorts of stuff going on around the world. You happen to be in Taiwan. Yeah. Is your focus there because to gain an understanding of what's happening and to report on events there? Is there any other reason specifically you'd be in Taiwan right now?
Oh, yeah. Let me say something. As important as anything else, you're noticing that something was wrong with those numbers, with the COVID numbers, is that you actually had the courage to stand up against the current and tide. That is absolutely vital, because cowardice leads straight to treason, right? Cowards are natural traitors. You stood up when it was really, you get electrocuted for writing the things that you were writing back then, right? Yeah. So, I mean, and you were still writing.
Michael, you know what happened? You know what happened to me? The next day after I was on with Alex Jones, Media Matters doxed me. And they said, Joe Hoff, who works at this company in Hong Kong, wrote at the Gateway Pundit this outrageous report. And it set up a series of events with my company And eventually I ended up retiring. But Media Matters doxed me, and it was the end of my career in overseas, and sent me back here where I started writing with Gateway Pundit now daily. But you're right. Sometimes you do this stuff and you get attacked for it. And the Media Matters is just a sinister outfit. They're just so gross. But yeah. That's what happened. I didn't share that for a long time because I didn't want them to know that they hurt me. But that's what happened. And that's how I ended up back in the States and then started writing. And I was right place, right time, because then the election comes along and you know, all hell breaks loose in the U.S. ever since Biden's been around. So anyways,
it's true, because it's very important to find people that actually have the guts to stand up, who are not actually crazy, right? You know, like Media Matters has basically set themselves on fire, like the guy that did it with gasoline recently. You know what I mean? Nobody pays. They're a bunch of clowns, obviously. We can see that. You know, let me say one Marine friend of mine, he was somebody I was with in Afghanistan. He's a retired Marine infantry officer. Tim Lynch is his name. I called up Tim and we were talking about the pandemic in the early part, and he just used Marine Corps common sense. He said, think about it. Are you seeing all the bums, the drug addicts on the streets being hauled off dead? And I was like, you know what? You always hit me with this infantry wisdom. It's like cowboy common sense. And I'm like, that's actually a really good point. These drug addicts that have probably almost zero immune system, or maybe it's the hardiest in the world. I don't know. But in any case, they're still on the streets. And you know, because that was actually a canary in the coal mine, I thought that was actually just an interesting observation. Mm-hmm. Another right. that some people are bringing up is we weren't seeing a lot of famous people die. In fact, none, as I recall. But now from the death jab, they're keeling over all the time. As you recall, there were no really famous people that just died on us. And that was also telling, right? Because there are a lot of famous people. And we weren't really, that would have been big time news and hard to hide. But anyway, but why am I in Taiwan? I'm always walking the line, as you know. Before this, it was Japan at that pandemic treaty rally on the 13th of April. But before that, it was actually Canada. And in Canada, we were looking at, for instance, Masako Ganaha and I were just at a Chinese police station in Chinatown in Vancouver. They actually openly have, we know these police stations around the world. We went to one in Dublin. We went to one in London as an example, but we went to this one in Vancouver in Chinatown, and it's in the open. I mean, the big signs got like a storefront next to Sun Yat-sen Park of all places. And interestingly, right down the road from that, like 5 minutes walk, the Canadian government is literally handing out drugs to street drug addicts. I mean, there's street drug addicts all over the place, sleeping in their excrement, you know, frozen, trying to light their pipes. You know, they hunch over. There's that lighting, trying to light my pipe, you know, position that a lot of them get frozen in. There's one right in front of the door. I got him on video. And then there's others, you know, hunched over and frozen and just all over the place. And the Canadian government's actually handing that stuff out, right? So, you know, they've also got this MAID program in Canada, the medical assistance in dying, right? The Canadian government is literally putting people to death who don't have any, they're perfectly healthy. You can walk into a Canadian hospital and say, hey, my knee hurts. And I would rather, you know, be put to death. They will literally kill you. You can get killed almost instantly. They're clearly, you know, about 30 years ago, I read a book called The Nazi Doctors, right? And that book must have recently come out at that time, because I was always, after I got stationed in Germany when I was in the army, I've always been paying really close attention, like, how did those people become Nazis? You know, and how did this thing go off the rails like that? Because when you're in Germany, they seem like quite sensible people. And, you know, when I was over there in the army, we would talk about that sometimes, like, how did they actually get these people to do this stuff? And, you know, Dachau was right down the road from where I was stationed in Bad Tons, Germany. And I went there numerous times, just scratching my head. And now I see how they do it. Now it's very obvious. Like if I go to the border, the Texas border, I've been across the entire U.S. border from SpaceX on the one side, which is on the Texas-Mexican border, all the way to San Diego. I've been across the entire thing, right? And one of the things that's interesting is you see the Border Patrol loading up the buses and helping people get into the United States. This is our border patrol, which contains many patriots. But at the end of the day, they are like gears in a watch. They're doing their job. They're just, their job is to be a gear and click, 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 load people up on the buses or the airplanes or whatever. They're gears in a clock and they don't even know what time it is. They are gears in somebody else's organizational structure. And the organizational structure dictates the outcome, right? So if the master clock builder uses those same gears, he can build something else with them. And so bottom line is, we've got a lot of ordinary men and women doing their jobs, just doing their job, sir. I just getting paid. Mm-hmm. I'm driving the bus. I'm loading the bus. Yeah. I'm giving them their debit card. I'm putting them in the hotel. And the next thing you know, it's a war. Straight up war.
Amen.
And it's very clear. You see what's happening in Canada with the main thing. They're clearly setting up to do a massive genocide. They're setting the medical system in place right now, and they're actually using
it. Well, that's an incredible observation. Michael, we're going to take a real quick break. We'll come back and let's dig into this quite a bit here after the break.
When a crisis hits close to home and across the globe, nonprofits are on the front lines, ready to serve.
Keep coming.
The demand for charitable services has skyrocketed, and nonprofits are rising to meet the needs. Healing. Nurturing. Rescuing. Honoring. Protecting. Caring. Inspiring. The work of philanthropic organizations of all sizes, across all missions, has never been more important. And it's donors and volunteers like you who make all this possible. Thank you. Together, we change the world. The Nonprofit Alliance.
Our beautiful world is changing, withering, dying. By the hands of those who don't value nature, even though we all depend on it for life itself. But there is hope. Together with caring friends, the Nature Conservancy can restore our lands and save our wildlife with big solutions only nature can provide. To learn more, visit nature.org today.
Jason Burmis has the power of information.
Today's News Talk. TNT.
Hey, this is Joe Hoff filling in for Jason. Thanks for listening. Got the great Michael Yan here live from Taiwan with us. Boy, I tell you what, Mike, you look great. So happy to have you here. I know you're a busy man, so it's great to have you. Right before the break, we were talking about Canada and how they've made basically execution and death almost a common thing. What more do you have to say about that?
Yeah, Canada's literally got that MAID program. The MAID program stands for, it's an acronym, Medical Assistance in Dying. They are literally putting people to death. It's straight out of the book Nazi Doctors, and the systems they're killing people right now as we speak. Right, you can literally go in and get killed almost instantly. One Canadian man was very upset. They killed his daughter. She was mentally, she may have had Downs, as I recall. In any case, she went in there and got herself put to death. And they never contacted her father or anything. She's gone, right? I mean, they're literally doing ethnic or some sort of cleansing Nazi style, right? And so we were up in Canada. We were looking at, there is no border. If you go to Vancouver, the places that we were just in Canada, we were in Toronto, and then we went to Yellowknife, which is 250 miles south of the Arctic Circle, that's in the Northwest Territories. And then we went to Vancouver. So we were on, you know, all over Canada there. And so let's go back to Vancouver. Vancouver, when you land at Vancouver Airport, it's not actually in Vancouver. It's in a town called Richmond. Richmond is basically China now, straight up. I mean, it's Chinese. Wow. They own it, right? Right next to Richmond is Surrey, which is basically India. So you've got China and India right there next to each other. And then you've got Vancouver. They're all together. If you look at a map, you'll see. And Vancouver, of course, is very mixed. And then we went to Chinatown in Vancouver. And that's where they're handing out the drugs. Literally, the Canadian government is literally dispensing cocaine into people that are living on the street right outside. I got video of it. They kicked us out of the clinic, actually. So we went in, Misako and I went inside. They got angry, kicked us out. And then, oh, you can't videotape the people on the streets. Why not? They're on the streets. Anyway, so then, you know, again, right down about a 5-minute walk from where they're handing out drugs there in Chinatown, the Canadian government, is the CCP police station, right? And it, and we, I put it on X. I put photos of all this on X. And by the way, if you look at these Chinese dragons that are all over the place, look closely at the number of claws they have, the number of claws, right? If they have 3 claws, it means you're a friend, right? So like if they have 4 claws, it means you're a relative, right? If they have 5 claws, if the dragons have 5 claws, the Chinese dragons, it means China is claiming that territory. So we were looking at the dragons around there, and most people don't know that, even a lot of China. So we were looking at the we were looking at the statues there in Chinatown, and they all had 5 claws, right? And Misako, she's from Okinawa, Japan. She was talking with Ann Vandersteel and me one day on the phone about, I don't know, a month and a half ago. And Misako was going to one of the dragons in Okinawa, Japan, and to count the claws. And it had 5 claws. And it's very interesting because Misako said that's where a lot of the mainland Chinese come. They come on vacation and they do these package tours and they take them right to that dragon, the dragon with 5 claws on Okinawa. And we know that the Chinese Communist Party is working hard to persuade the Okinawans that they're actually Chinese, right? So, I mean, so you mentioned Guatemala earlier. We were also recently in Guatemala. Let's go to Bahamas first, right? So we'll finish Canada. Canada is like, we went to Northwest Territories, 250 miles from the Arctic Circle. I hadn't been there since 1984, probably. And huge, you know, northern lights up there. But interestingly, all the taxi drivers for about, I don't know, we were there for about a week. They're all from Africa. They're from Eritrea, Sudan. I kept asking them, wow, I mean, I'm from Florida. I would say it's pretty cold up here. It's really cold, you know. And you came all the way from Africa for this? And they're like, oh, yes, you know. Some were in Vancouver first. They were like from, they were from places like a lot were from Eritrea and Somalia and that sort of thing. And then there were a lot of Indians and mainland Chinese. But the bottom line is, why is Canada being demographically replaced? Obviously to conquer it, which is essentially done, I would say. The PLA has actually already changed, has already trained with the Canadian Army. Well,
and changed the culture too, right?
It's gone.
Because the culture is that of honor. I believe our culture ultimately is law and order. And it's being destroyed right now. And you bring in a bunch of people that come from these countries where it's like you fight for what you get, and then that's how you survive. And you come to the U.S. where there has been opportunities. It's making it a third world country. We're seeing it. You're seeing it more than anybody. But that's what I think. Yeah. They're changing our culture.
Oh, and keep in mind, this is about bigger things. This is about, for instance, the Northwest Passage up there by the Arctic Circle, where, you know, you can, that would be in large part a replacement for the Panama Canal and some other routes, right, for shipping, as they learn ways to get through that ice pack and the global warming and all these sort. There is some actual global warming going on. It's not as people say it is, but it's used as a weapon, obviously, to control. But actually, the Russians and the Chinese are working to have a Northwest Passage up there. That's why we were in Northwest Territories, because take over. We weren't up there. We're up there because we realized this is strategic terrain. Yellowknife, where we went to in Northwest Territories, is the capital and the only city in Northwest. Look at Northwest Territories on a map. It's bigger than most countries on Earth. It's absolutely massive. Right. And it's a nice piece of terrain to own if you want to own that Northwest Passage. So they're working very hard at the information warriors to split off the Inuit and the others, natives up there. So like Nunavut, an Inuit almost country now, has formed up there as part. It used to be part of the Northwest Territories. So now the Chinese and the Russians can deal directly with them, right? Anyway, it's a slow process. It's a slow process, but it works over time. So before that, let's go back to Bahamas. We were in Bahamas.
Yeah, quickly. Because I want to ask you about Guatemala here in a minute. Yeah.
Okay, the Chinese have a huge port right off the Florida coast in the Bahamas, right? And they're building a huge embassy. So back in Guatemala, we were recently in Guatemala, and we were there. Ann Vandersteel was there. Misako Ganaha was there. Anthony Rubin was there. I asked numerous people to come in, and I asked Joseph Humaita. You know Joseph Humaita? I'll say it in English. Joseph is somebody who would be very important to get on your show. This guy is an expert on Latin America and beyond. And so I often am asking him questions. I asked him to come to Guatemala to brief my team, right? And Ann Vandersteel and Misako and others, and we all converged there in Guatemala, and they gave us a couple of days of briefings. And you can see Guatemala is important. Of course, Guatemala borders the Mexican southern border right next to Belize, right? Belize and Guatemala are the two countries that border the south part of Mexico. And so China is working hard to try to take Guatemala, but they still recognize Taiwan, where I'm at now, right? But that is where almost all the people flow through who come through South America, you know, the Darien Gap. If they're coming by land, they almost all go through Guatemala. So Guatemala is key. So we were talking with people in the Guatemalan government about how they're going to use it. You should see the U.S. embassy that's being built in Guatemala right now. And I said to them, I said, that's your new government building right there. Look at the size of that embassy. And the Guatemalans are wondering too, like, because when I ask them, they're like, we are wondering why they're building such a huge embassy. I'm like, well, that's your new government offices, right? That's the new world order right there. That's not really going to be the U.S. embassy. It'll just have our flag as the globalists take over your country, right? The globalists include the World Economic Forum and, of course, Chinese Communist Party are the two main energy sources of that, right? As we left there, it was months ago now, the United States, I believe, we already had 8 more processing camps for people coming through. Because when they come through Guatemala, they come into a Mexican city called Tapachula. I've been to Tapachula. Oscar Blue's down there all the time. You know, Oscar Blue, the Mexican journalist, he's unbelievable. We've gone down to Darien together. He's all over. He got kidnapped in Guatemala at one point. He's okay. They didn't really kidnap him. They stole his gear. They got him put him on the ground and stole all of his gear. And that they didn't kill him, luckily. But Oscar is very serious man. He's in Tapachula all the time, watching these new caravans form that are coming up. We talked with people in Guatemalan intelligence who watch this stuff. And they're like, these caravans have nothing to do with migration. They use the caravans to smuggle drugs because if they get thousands of people together, they can get huge amounts of drugs and people through all the checkpoints, and the Mexicans don't check them.
Well, let me ask you about this. This was a tweet that went out earlier today. Yeah, Robbie Starbuck. And it's a special prosecutor's office down in Guatemala just raided the Save the Children NGO, nonprofit. This comes shortly after warnings from Guatemala's apparently attorney general office that NGOs are trafficking kids through the U.S. border. And by the way, Jill Biden was previously a board chair for the Save the Children NGO. I guess along with drugs, do you believe that they're transferring children as well?
100%. I mean, that's not even a question. You rarely hear me say 100%. You know, I usually will leave at least 1%. Back door in case I'm wrong, but that is absolutely 100%. Definitely. I mean, we've seen it. We see it all the time with our eyes and with our cameras. And there's many, many witnesses. I mean, Oscar Blue, Ann Vandersteel, Misako Ganaha, Chuck Holton, very long list of people who've witnessed this firsthand.
So what do you see? What do you see when you see children being trafficked? What's the clues?
Oh, let's just jump right into Brownsville, Texas. You know, at the Walmart, former Walmart Supercenter, which we reported on Alex Jones' show, right? One person that you might want to get on is Carlos Arello. Carlos messages me all the time. I've been with him in Texas. He used to work at some of these child trafficking places. He was actually one of the people who did the flights with the children, right? Carlos, I'll introduce you to him. And he's a whistleblower. Wow. And so... Carlos is very important. He's just one. I mean, we have a list of more than 8,000 addresses. Ann's got it. Carlos is very important. He's just one. I mean, we have a list of more than 8,000 addresses. Ann's got it. It's been handed out widely. A lot of people have it now. It's a list of addresses where these children have been taken to in the United States. The U.S. government is 100% doing it. The Border Patrol loads those kids up on the buses. As we speak, U.S. Border Patrol will be loading up children who just came across the border onto buses, completely unvetted, zero vetting at all. And they warehouse them in different places. For instance, at that Walmart Supercenter, former Walmart Supercenter in Brownsville, Texas. And it's run by Southwest Key. It's right there in the open. It's not hidden. It's right beside the gas station, right beside the pizza joint, right across the street from McDonald's, right? I've been there numerous times. It's in Brownsville.
Where do these kids go then?
Nobody seems to know. But if you talk with Carlos, he talked about flying them in every state in the union. He said they would fly them to Orlando. They would fly them to New York and New Jersey. They were flying to San Francisco, and so these escorts, which are usually in their young 20s, like Carlos was, they fly with the children. If they can't make their connection flights or whatever, they often get hotels, and the escorts actually stay in the same hotel room as the children, right? And they have this nebulous paperwork. They just hand them off to people or deliver the children to people and they never, sometimes the kids are like crying. They don't want to go with these people. They don't know them. You should get Carlos on. This is straight up hardcore in your face, human trafficking, and nobody does any law enforcement. No local law enforcement has raided Southwest Key. They don't do anything. Where's the SWAT team? Where's the FBI? Where's Governor Abbott saying he's doing this and that? Governor Abbott's too busy cracking heads on universities there and infringing on free speech than he is in child trafficking going on right under his nose. We have no border. We have no border in Texas, period. I'm on it all the time, right? And Abbott gets the people and puts them on buses and ships them up to New York and whatnot, but doesn't send them back to Mexico, right? Meanwhile, Netanyahu gets on demanding that we throw out the First Amendment. I don't know if you saw him on video. He just did it. And Abbott and others dutifully start cracking heads on universities, right? Mm. I mean, I don't like the protest either, but we do have a First Amendment, and a huge number of our ancestors have died for that Constitution. Sure. But Netanyahu says it's no free speech for America. And Americans are like, oh, yes, we must bow to the evil Zionists.
But there's also, we're finding too, that the same people that are pushing these riots now on the universities and the pro-Palestine, pro-Hamas stuff are the same group that was pushing the Black Lives Matter. Some of the same funding is, to me, it's almost, it's 4 years now. It's an election year. Let's start riots again and let's get this country, burning down again. And God only knows what's going to happen this year.
Can we mention Hias real quick?
It's all planned out.
Hias?
Go ahead.
The Hebrew Immigrant Aid Society. The Hebrew Immigrant Aid Society is one of the main invasion force facilitators, right? And who was a board member there but Ali Mayorkas, the director of Homeland Security?
He was the director.
Yeah. It's not.
And Catholic Charities, Michael, right? Catholic Charities as well.
Lutheran Services, what's Catholic going on? Charities. Yeah.
Are these really entities that are they stealing the name of Catholic Charities and this Hebrew outfit? Are they really tied to Catholic Charities and these Hebrew outfits? And they're running these incredible, illegal immigrant operations.
You know, I took Laura Loomer down there to Darien. She's done incredible work on that. And she outed Hias pretty seriously. Right. And that's why I took her down there. I thought, I thought she would go after him, and she did actually. She's very effective, serious fighter. But at the same time, she seems to be down with cracking down on freedom of speech if it's against Israel. You know what I mean? So I mean, I'm not really. You know, this is like 1 minute. This is like pushing jabs, right? Coming after our First Amendment is a no-go.
that's very real in talking to you, Mike. There's a lot of work to do. There's a lot of crimes that are being committed, and we have got to fix this. And Mike, nobody better than you. You're a hero. You're an American hero, and proud of all you that you do. Stay safe in Taiwan. We'll be keeping an eye out for you. And thank you for joining us. It's tough to get a hold of you because you're traveling so much, but thank you so much.
I really appreciate your having me on. I'm always ready if I'm not on an airplane.
Yeah, how can we get you real quick? We got about 10 seconds. How can people reach you? Through
Twitter? I'm on Twitter every day. I'm on X every day, which is Michael_Yon. My last name is Yon, Yankee Oscar November, Y-O-N.
Great.
And thank you, Michael. Have a good day, sir.